next Ois Chabov, I think if you look at the published Arches Chaim LaRosh with the Meforshim on the bottom, it's the longest Ois in the whole. It's not the Meforshim, it's the most that they speak about. Pages on this one. It's probably the most famous piece of the Rosh. In the Arches Chaim LaRosh. Ois Chabov. Niftarach b'Hashem b'chol avavcha. Person has to be tochen HaKadosh Baruch Hu with his whole heart. L'hamin b'hashkachosoy ha-pratis. And hemuna in the Baruch Hu is hashkach ha-pratis, that he is perfectly aware of everything a person is doing and directing the person's life. B'zat t'kayim b'avavcha ha-yichud ha-sholim. And that will, by doing these two things, b'tarach b'Hashem b'chol avavcha and mimayim in hashkach ha-pratis, y'vimakayim yichud ha-sholim. Now explains. Bahamin, by you believe, ki ein of mshetes b'chol oretz. The Bereshit sees everything. Reinam b'chol darach ish, and his eyes are focused on what a person is doing. He's directing the person's life. Uboichin lev b'chakakloyes, and he knows everything that you're thinking. Ki mi she'en o'maymin asher tzitzicho meretz mitzrayim. A person doesn't believe in the second half of the pasuk. I believe in God. That's not enough. I believe in that the Bereshit took us out of Mitzrayim, which means I believe that the Kadosh Baruch Hu was infinitely aware of everything which is happening. He was concerned about it. He was able to take care of it, and he took care of it. So you see, it's Mitzrayim. Is an integral part of the rush of the mitzvah of Nech Hashem Lekecha. Nech Hashem Lekecha is a muna, but the muna has to be into an understanding of Kodesh Baruch Hu, that Kodesh Baruch Hu is infinitely concerned and aware and involved in our lives. And that's the mitzvah of Nech Hashem Lekecha. I think the Gaon says that the you say Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad Hashem Elokeinu. It says the full shame of a Kadosh Baruch Hu, and Pikabola, the full shame of a Kadosh Baruch Hu, Hashem Elokeinu. There's the fact that a Kadosh Baruch Hu is involved in the world, and concerned about the world, and is interested in the world. That's what we believe in. So Hashem Elokeinu is Hashem's name. Veza Yichud Shalom, a person that doesn't have this element. He doesn't have Yichud Sholem. Is there who skulas Yisrael kol amim? Because this is what's extraordinary about Klai Yisrael, this level of Amunah and Kodesh Baruch Hu, and understanding of Kodesh Baruch Hu. V'zeh Yisrael kol Torah kula. And this is it. This is Yisrael kol Torah kula. So how can you not make that the most important rush in the whole Rechaz Chama rush? V'zeh Yisrael kol Torah kula. This is Yisrael kol Torah kula. So we're not going to take this whole rush apart in one day. There's too much here to do it one day, but let's try and understand what he's saying. See, he puts us under, at the end of the day, he puts us under the umbrella called Bitochen. And then he tells you Bitochen, he said called Tarkula, and Bitochen is something that something you're supposed to do when there's a tzar, you're supposed to have Bitochen. Like, what is the Rosh saying? The Rosh's understanding of Bitochen obviously is much broader than when there's a tzar, hot Bitochen, now That's not what the Rosh is saying. There's a Gra. The Gra says Kamat, the exact same thing. The Gra in Mishle says that he says it based on a pasuk in Tehillim. Let's see if I can get the pasuk. Have a Tehillim right here. Find the pasuk right now. The pasuk says the Rosh took us out. He was medias all of the mitzvahs in order to we should become and have be talking in the Kodesh Baruch Hu. We should lie in the Kodesh Baruch Hu. That's what Rosh was medias all the mitzvahs. So the Gaon says that the tachlis of Kol Torah Kula, the whole purpose of the whole Torah, is the concept of. Find the pasuk. Is in order that the Klai Yisrael should come to be talking in the Kodesh Baruch Hu. So again, it seems, you know, according to our misunderstanding of what Pitochin is, we don't understand exactly what that is. I mentioned the Moshul, I mentioned it before, and this is the best way for me to understand what this is. We'll say the Moshul again and bring out the point. And again, with the caveat that Moshul about kings are not good nowadays because we don't really have kings, but we don't understand what a king is, but the Moshul requires a king. So there's a king. This king is a person with infinite wisdom. He has tremendous knowledge, tremendous patience, tremendous care, concern for the people of his country. Extraordinarily wealthy country with resources of who knows what. And it's available that you can get each person can have an audience with the king. You make your appointment. You come in, and the king will focus on you. He will talk to you. He will give you advice. He will listen to you. He will give you help. The person makes his appointment, and he comes. It's his turn to come into the king, and of course he's overwhelmed, scared. What's going to happen? He walks into the king, and with this tremendously warm experience, this tremendously powerful king of this wealthy country, intelligent, caring, concerned, knowledgeable. Is focusing on him, giving him advice, giving him resources, helping him. The person feels a tremendous feeling of warmth. He's being taken care of by this powerful king. When a person is in that state of mind, he's not distracted by the rest, by what's going on outside of him. He's in that warm feeling. He's not distracted. The king comes to him and says at the end, "You know, I'm worried. You know, right now we've had this great conversation. You really feel you have direction now. You know where you're going in life. You have the resources that you need. You have my interest. You have my care, my concern. I'm available for you whenever you need me. Give me a special phone number to call me. But I'm afraid, you know, and you feel good. I see that you feel good. You're very happy. But I see you're going to walk out this door and you're going to forget this moment. So I want to give you a list of things I want you to do to remind you of this moment. That you should understand that you have me available. I have everything. We have everything there for you. We have the knowledge, the direction, the advice, the resources, the interest. I'm all there for you. And I'm going to do some things. I want you to do on a regular basis, to read and to do, to remind you. Things I don't want you to do because those things are going to distract you and get you too busy with other things. You're going to forget what happened over here. Kadosh Baruch Hu, we come to Har Sinai. Kaisel comes to Leibniz and they come to Har Sinai. Har Sinai is we're sitting with the king. And there's nothing else in the world. Faisal is in the Midbar, and at Mamish, we're in the king, we're holding in the Kadosh Baruch Hu's arms. Mershon says, you're going to walk away from this, and you're going to forget. So I'm going to give you many things to do, which will remind you of that moment that you're with the Kadosh Baruch Hu, that there's no problems in the world, that everything is perfect. Because the Kadosh Baruch Hu is in total control of the world. He's totally powerful. He knows everything. He's totally focused on me with his all of his knowledge and all of his wisdom and all of his care and concern. He's doing the best thing there is for me. So what am I worried about? It's perfect. In that world, the Kadosh Baruch Hu is totally the only reality of the world. That's all there is. That's the world of Bitachon. It's perfect. Bitachon is the result of that perfect knowledge of a Kadosh Baruch Hu's reality. So you have to walk around like, you know, with this gigantic smile on your face. Like, it's so beautiful, it's so warm, it's so perfect, it's so great. But you're going to forget. You're going to get distracted by this. So therefore, Mershon says, I will listen to these are mitzvahs you shouldn't do. Because they're going to distract you from that understanding. There's things I want you to do to be mechazik that understanding. So all of the mitzvahs are there. The hechatim is to create that reality of a human being understanding that we live in a Kadosh Baruch Hu's arms. David Melech says, Kikimul alai imi. Amamash, a babe in his mother's arms. Chaim Shalevitz says a pshat in the Gemara in Shabbos. It's a Gemara. It's a Hilchos Gemara. It's not a God. It's a Gemara. It's a Hilchos Gemara. But it's Mamash. It's such a pshat and Hilchos Gemara. It's a mind-boggling thing. Gemara says Rabbi Yossi Shita is that the Malach of Soyser, when the Lamed has Malachas, the Malach of Soyser is only chayv if you break something down. To rebuild it, bim kaimai, in that specific place where you took it apart. So a person would dismantle a building to use the materials to rebuild something better. So it's not makalkel, it's masake. Right? You're going to use it for something better. So it's not an act of destruction. It's an act of construction, really. I'm taking it apart to use it for better. So Chum say, that's chayiv. It's not makalkal, it's masakin. Rashi says, no, you need to be mekaymai. It has to be in the exact same spot. So if he takes it apart to use it to rebuild it here better, that's chayiv. If he takes it apart to rebuild it somewhere else, you're potter. So the Morris Akasha, which is the most obvious Kasha, the Lama says, Malachas are learned from the Mishkan. Where do you have starts with the Mishkan? Whenever they would travel from place to place, they would take apart the Mishkan to move to the next place to rebuild it. So that, by definition, the whole Metzias of Sarsa was to rebuild it. Daf cannot be Mkaimai. So what's the more talking about? What's the Rashi talking about? It's connected to Pasuk. So more answers, no. Keep the Tzilah Piyashem Yisrael, but Piyashem Yachadu, Kamad Asim, this Bim Kaimadam. It was a Piyashem. Okay, so what's the answer to Gemara? So Chaim Shlomo says, gives an answer. It gives a Moshel to Mazur to Gemara's terrors. He says, imagine a mother gets onto the bus in the city. There's a bus which goes from Tel Aviv to Yerushalayim, and the mother gets onto the bus, a woman gets onto the bus with a baby in her arms. She's holding a baby, she gets onto the bus holding a baby in her arms. She sits down on the bus. So they ask you, right, okay, where's the baby? The baby's in his mother's arms. Now the bus travels from Tel Aviv to Yerushalayim. They get to Yerushalayim, ask you, where's the baby? The answer is, it's in his mother's arms. The bus moved. It went from Tel Aviv to Yerushalayim, but the child didn't move. The child stayed in its mother's arms the whole time. That's what a child is. A child is in its mother's arms. That's what the Gemara is saying. Klai Yisrael was in a Kodesh Baruch Hu's arms. Therefore, they didn't move. That's the same mokum. Their definition of mokum wasn't by physical reality, because that wasn't the reality that Klai Yisrael lived in the Midbar. Klai Yisrael lived in the Midbar. The real reality is a Kodesh Baruch Hu. They lived in a Kodesh Baruch Hu's arms. That's Bitochen. Bitochen is that the Kodesh Baruch Hu is the menuchas nefesh of the Beteach, the total level of relaxation, the security of what was a Beteach in the one that he trusts in. And he goes, Maz, well, what are you going to trust in? You're going to trust in power, trust in money, the alchemist who could make, you know, all the different metals into gold, you know, that's dangerous, you know. Kadosh Baruch Hu is better than all of that. He's got all of it. So what are you worried about? But the point isn't, don't be worried. That's not the tachlis. The tachlis is to live in a reality where there's no need with a Kadosh Baruch Hu who is so real to you that, of course, you don't worry. But you live in that reality, you're with a Kadosh Baruch Hu. The mitzvahs are there to create that reality. That's the tachlis of Kol Torah Kula. That's the tachlis that the Gaon says. Klal Yisrael learned that b'shas Yetzias Mitzrayim. They learn the Nach Hashem Elokecha Shasicha Beretz Yisrael. It's a mind-boggling thing. We don't stop and think about it enough. I guess maybe the mushroom which you try and imagine an ant, you know, a little rashkula, as they say in Yiddish. A little ant walks up to you and says, "You know, you're my God." I said, "No, you know what? I'm not your God. I really couldn't care less about you." And anyway, excuse me, you know, it's an insult to me that you think that you're chashim enough that I should think of that. You want to put my name on you? You know, you're not relevant to me. No. The God is HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We want to say Hashem at HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And we say, Elokei Avraham. What HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the God of a human being. I mean, that's pretty insulting. It's awesomely insulting. You know, so the universe is, I don't know, say, you know, 10 billion light years wide, right? And HaKadosh Baruch Hu is limitless, you know, right? And out of all of those worlds, there's this thing called Earth. Rechimichel Tukhachinsky has, besides the Geshur Chaim, he also has a sefer we put out for the Birchus Hachama. In the, I guess it must have been 1954, put out a little sefer called Tekuvas Hachama Uberchasa. So you know, he goes to the halacha part and says he also has a piece of mussar in there. It's interesting. The same way in Geshur Chaim, there's a lot of mussar machshava, you know, at the end of the sefer about life and death. So he has it with about. So that there at that point in time, it was in 53. Yeah, it was 53. So in 1953, so they were building the Mount Palomar Observatory, Hale Observatory in Mount Palomar, California, which was at that point in time was the largest telescope which was available until they put Hubble up in the, you know, so they could see where, you know, it was the best telescope that they had. So it was a 200-inch, you know, convex mirror telescope. Okay, so, and they were building it. They hadn't built it yet. They were building it. They were talking about with this telescope, they're going to unlock the secrets of the universe. They can figure everything out. It's going to be great. You figure everything out. So he writes a piece of Musa there, an introduction to the Sefer Tzukuvah Zechama. So he writes over there, says, imagine a person takes a very large ball. A gigantic, very big ball. And he says, and on that ball, there's a speck of dust. A speck of dust. Speck of dust. In this speck of dust, there's a molecule. In the molecule, there's an atom. In the atom, there's an electron. And on that electron, there's this little being which is saying, I'm going to figure out everything about this ball. Says, there's this universe. There's a solar system. There's a galaxy. There's a solar system. There's the planet Earth. There's California. There's Mount Palomar. There's this observatory. There's this little guy inside saying, I'm going to figure out the world. That was his mashal. It's awesome, Ashava. That's how small we are. Elokei Avraham. Isn't that mind-boggling? The version says, I am Avraham's God. And that's considered a praise to me. I'm Elokeinu. I am your God. I got nothing better to do than think about Eli Rheingold. That's what he's saying. Like, you know, there's 7.5 billion people in the world. The history of mankind from beginning to end, there's a lot more than that. I haven't figured out the number, right? On the earth. And there's all the stars. And there's, like, you know, the sun is pretty big, you know. But, you know, the sun is, as it goes, like one of the smaller stars. And there's stars which are thousands of times larger than the sun. In this phenomenally gigantic universe, we have no way in our minds even to comprehend that. And the person says, Elokeinu, yeah, I'm interested in you. That's what Kaisa learned B'Shas HaSiz Mitzrayim. Anochi Hashem Elokecha, I am your God. The Medrash says he spoke to each individual and said, I'm yours. I'm there with you 100%. Those of you who were married already, so you remember the day you got engaged. Those of you which don't, one day we get to the day engaged. I had this fascinating experience the day I got engaged. I never realized that you could actually hurt to smile. You know, your muscles get stuck in this smile to the point that it hurts. Like, you go this, you know, it hurts. It hurts to keep that smile. Like, you're not doing it on purpose. It's like, you know, just like, you're smiling because you're so excited. And I remember, like, I just started rubbing my cheeks. They hurt from smiling. That's what Yisrael did in the Midbar the whole time. They said, you know, it doesn't say anyone in Medrash, but I tell you, they the whole day they had to rub their cheeks. It was because they were smiling, because they were happy. There was a Kadosh Baruch Hu. It's an awesome experience, you know, if you choose the part, right? Okay? It was an awesome experience. And that's what Torah says to us. We have a personal relationship with the Kadosh Baruch Hu to the point that we can live in his arms. So that's the first half of the machshava we're going to share. We didn't talk about Hashkafa Pratis yet. Let's get into that yet. This is, I think, the beginning of a window of understanding the Russian understanding of what we're talking about.